Let me invite you, if you care to turn with me to Amos chapter 3. Amos chapter 3. In a moment, we will begin right there. Good to be with you on this Monday night. Appreciate the good turnout we have. A good number of folks, as Brother Wayne mentioned, from a number of congregations in the immediate area. I know you worshiped all day yesterday with your brethren and worked all day today, and it's a rather chilly night. And we appreciate your fortitude for the elements and your fortitude in the faith and coming out to worship God, we believe, in spirit and in truth. My thanks, Brother Wayne, and the elders here for the invitation to come and have a part in your fall gospel meeting here at Horse Cave. It's my pleasure. I got Shana and Connor off today this afternoon, drove them down to Bowling Green and rented them a car, and when services began, they were about 30 minutes away from Birmingham, headed back to school and to work. Someone's got to make a living, Wayne, while I'm off up here. She thinks maybe goofing around or whatever. So just kidding, of course. But enjoyed having them here. We drove up together, had a good day Saturday, and a wonderful day yesterday and today as well before they had to get back with it in Birmingham. But my pleasure to be here. And Brother Ken, thank you for leading the singing tonight. Y'all just abounding in good song leaders here, Wayne. Abounding in it. I sat in front of Brother Ken last night. He not only can lead singing, but he can sing baritone very well. You'll put me to shame, Ken. So tomorrow night, if you're not leading, I'm going to sit somewhere else where I can sound a little better when I'm not around. You've got a very good voice. Your song leaders here have Scott and Ken, tremendously talented song leaders. And from a preacher's vantage point, John, that makes a difference. I do not like a dragging, down song before I get in the pulpit. And so that's very good. Thank you, sir, so very, very much. And our thanks to Brother John Boyd for directing our minds in prayer, one we could all say amen to. And along with Brother Wayne, appreciate the good work that he continues to do with the Elizabethtown congregation. We love those brethren up there. And John, give them my best when you head back up that way tonight. Well, without any further ado, let's get right into the message of the hour. As Wayne mentioned tonight, the theme that we have selected and been advertising is the principle of together. The principle of together. Now, I had you mark Amos chapter 3, and do hang on to that, but let me divert your attention over to Acts chapter 2 before we get there. Should have done that a moment ago, but got two verses transposed there. Hang on to Amos 3:3, stick an extra finger in it, or dog ear a page, or stick in a bookmark, and then head over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, and the title of our sermon, the principle of together. We're living, as you well know, in a divided age. We're living in a divided world. Our country is greatly divided, not just politically, but in about every way we can imagine. And of course, sad but true, we are divided in the church. And we have been divided in the church. I believe there is a remedy to that, as Wayne does, as Billy does, as John does, as every preacher and every Christian in our assembly tonight. There's always a remedy to and for division. We're for that remedy because that remedy is and from both is the Word of God, and it's from the Word of God. We'll have much more to say about that, but I wanted to bring that to your attention, tell you what you already know. We are living in a divided age, divided times, divided world, divided country, divided brotherhood. Oftentimes, Wayne, even divided among ourselves in the local church. So division is no stranger to us, but I wish it were. I wish it were a 32nd cousin, but it is not. Oftentimes, it's the monkey on our back that's riding us all the way. And we can't seem, again, as my grandfather, late grandfather said, can't seem to get shed of it. It's just on us, hanging on for dear life. Well, we don't want any more of that. So tonight, the principle of together. Right after reading about the establishment of the church in Acts chapter 2, look again at verse 41 that we noted yesterday. Then David gladly received his word, were baptized, were immersed, That same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That one statement, of course, we want to get the whole context, not tonight, but we want to honor the context. But particularly that verse, the statement of that verse, represents the beginning, the establishment, the founding of the Church of Christ. The Jerusalem Church of Christ, we might add, AD 30. Day of Pentecost, as we noted yesterday morning, always fell on the first day of the week from Leviticus 23, verses 15 and following. It was in the city of Jerusalem, verse 14 of Acts chapter 2 indicates. So all of that is familiar to the bulk of us that are gathered here tonight. But following that statement about the establishment of the church, we have this. This statement found in two verses. Look at verses 44 and 45 of Acts chapter 2. And all that believed were together. There we are now. And all that believed were together, had all things common, sold their possessions and goods, and parted into all men as every man had need. Acts 2, 44 and 45 from the King James translation. Go back to the beginning part of verse 44. And all that believed were together. Brother Wayne, the Jerusalem Church of Christ enjoyed a togetherness that we're perhaps at times and rightly so envious of. They knew about the principle of together. They had put it into practice. They were living it in their lives. They were doing it, we might say. They were getting on with it. And so that statement is true. It's just. It's accurate. It's biblical. It's all of that and much, much more. And all that believed were together. The all that believed, Brother Malin, are the folks that we just read about in verse 41. Those 3,000 who had heard the word and were baptized. They're the ones, according to verse 42, that were continuing steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of the bread and in prayers, engaged in the same acts of worship, Brother Archie, that we do today, and rightfully so. We're talking about our brethren, members of the Church of Christ, New Testament Christians. And we are the 21st century version of that. But sadly, Scott, we do not enjoy the togetherness that is manifested in that little statement, two verses, again, Acts 2, 44 and 45. Here's what I want to do tonight in the time that we have remaining. It is, about 24 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock. Again, we'll be timely. Been a long day for you. Now, some of you have a little traveling, a little driving ahead of you, going back to your homes, following our services. But in the next 30, 35 minutes, we're going to talk about the principle of together. And I want to suggest to you from the Word of God what is involved in the principle of together. What exactly does the principle of together involve to turn it around the other way? Let's do that. Let me share four things with you. Make a mental note. Make a note in your Bible. Make a note on a notepad. Whatever works for you. I believe you'll find this to be practical and useful. I hope you will. And that all of us can benefit from our time together in song and prayer and the study of God's Word. The principle of together. Just what does that involve? Number one, point number one of 4 points tonight, it involves walking together. Now we're over at Amos chapter 3. It involves walking together. Look at this little statement, a question, in Amos chapter 3 and verse 3. Here's what the Lord God Almighty, through the prophet Amos, said in long ago. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Circle that verse, underline it, highlight it, however you mark your Bibles, a verse I believe you're going to want to go back to come back to again sometime in the future. Maybe you're just flipping through your Bible and you'll see a mark you made there, and it'll draw your eye, it'll draw your attention, and then you can read it again and reflect upon it again. Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, a question rhetorical in nature that again implies a negative response. Can two walk together, Brother Mike, except they be agreed? No, they cannot. Implying a negative response. Two people cannot walk together, Brother Billy, except they are agreed. Now, when I say that the principle of together involves walking together, what I directly and explicitly mean by that is walking together in the light of God's Word. This volume right here. Walking together in the light of God's Word. The principle of together. That our brethren 2,000 years ago had embraced and were quite good at for a time. Well, it involves walking together. And that walking together was not just any kind of walking together. It was, if you will, the metaphorical or spiritual walking together in the light of God's Word. The volume I hold in my hand and have hidden in my heart. The volume that will judge us on that last great day according to John 12 and verse 48. He that rejecteth me will receive not my words, hath one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken the same shall judge him in the last day. That is a sobering thought, Ken. I mean, that's enough to raise the hair on the back of your head, on the back of your neck. It's enough to cause a little pause, and rightfully so. This volume that we have so ready access to is the volume that we need to know, we must know, and we will be judged by its contents on that last great day. Oh, what a sober thought that is. We are instructed in God's Word to walk together in the light of His Word. And when we walk together in the light of His Word, God's Word, we are embracing the beginning stages of the principle of together. I want that, and you want that. I don't want division in my immediate family or my extended family. We want a togetherness, and I believe that Shane and I and the girls enjoy a togetherness. I hope we always do. Our family is changing like all families do. And I'm preaching to the choir here as I look out over folks that are younger than me and my age and older than I am. Many of you have already plowed the ground that I'm on. I married a little bit late. I was 29 and a half before I married. My wife is, Shana, that you met, is 8 years younger than I am. So we've got the three girls, 21, 19, and 17. And I kind of halfway jokingly sound like a dad and a granddad kin to him. But you know, we got two in college. One will be married next year. And, you know, John, change is inevitable. The joke is change is inevitable unless it comes from a vending machine. That's not inevitable there. But all kidding aside, change is inevitable. And so we roll with it, and we don't just roll with it, but we prepare for it so our roles will be right and they'll move us in the correct direction. So things are changing for my family. I know that Holly will be married several months by this time next year. Later, she and her future husband, Cody, will have children. They'll begin their own immediate family. Leave and cleave principle from Genesis 2 and reiterated in Matthew 19 will come into play in their lives as it has come in our lives here. We honor that. But all of that, long way around the barn to say this, we still desire togetherness on the part of our family. We don't want disunity. We want harmony and peace, and we want togetherness in our immediate families, our blood families, our fleshly families. Well, why can we not extrapolate that principle into the spiritual realm, into the church? We ought to be able to do so. We ought to be willing to do so and enjoy unity and harmony and peace and togetherness in the body of Christ. We can. And the principle of togetherness will get us there, and it gets us there, number one, by walking together in the light of God's Word. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Absolutely not. Now, let's consider, before we wind down point number one, let's consider a few verses from the New Testament that accent, in one way or another, togetherness, unity, harmony. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10 immediately comes to mind, one that you'll be familiar with. Here the Apostle Paul, in writing the church of God at Corinth, said him long ago, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Watch it now, look at the language there. "That you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." That is Paul's appeal in writing to the church of God at Corinth. That's his appeal for them to be together. He's exhorting them toward the principle, the embracing of the principle of together or togetherness. Let's go back to the Old Testament, then we'll come again to the New Testament. Psalm 133 and verse 1, again a verse we immediately recognize. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. You know, that's true again, as per my comments a moment ago about my family, and you were thinking about your family along the same lines. But that statement in Psalm 133, 1 is true whether we're talking about physical family or spiritual family. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is good and pleasant when brothers, when family, brothers and sisters, members of the same physical line, same bloodline, enjoy unity as God intended. And we can have that in any number of ways. Sometimes we have to make some compromises for that to occur in our families. But for that unity to occur, as David indicates in Psalm 133:1, for that to occur in the spiritual realm, if you will, if we may make that application, it will require us walking together in the light of God's Word. Can't do it any other way. Can't get away from the Word of God. Got to have the Word of God. Walk together in the light of God's Word. Now back to the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 3. Here's what Paul said to the church of Christ at Ephesus, where at least for some time, Timothy was the local preacher. So here's what we find, beginning with verse 3. Endeavoring, Paul writes to the church, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Well, that's a beautiful way to put it. It's poetic almost. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. How are we going to do that? Paul provides the answer by providing us with the planks of God's platform for unity in verses 4 and following. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Planks and God's platform for unity. Some of these are quite broad and would encompass other biblical and doctrinal matters, other theological principles found in the Word of God would be, I guess we could say, could be subsumed under one or more of those seven found there. The seven necessary ones, the seven essential ones, again, those planks in God's platform for unity. So Ephesians 4, 3 and following, Psalm 133 and verse 1. And 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, Amos 3 and verse 3, all of those fit neatly together. All of them represent exhortations and admonitions toward the principle of together, walking together in the light of God's Word is how that will happen. Let me wrap up point number one by directing you a statement from our Lord, from the lips of our Lord, recorded by John in John 17, verses 20 and 21. You know and I know that the longest recorded prayer of our Lord's is right there. All of John 17, the entire chapter. Look at just those two verses. That's all we need for this particular point. John 17, 20 and 21. Here's what our Lord said, what John recorded. Neither pray I for these alone. And let me interrupt that to say he's talking about his apostles. He said, I'm not just praying for my apostles alone. Neither pray I for these of them, but for all of them, watch it now, but for all of them which shall believe on me through their, the apostles' word. We'll come back to that in a moment. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art me, and I am thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, John 17, 20 and 21. Go back to the last part of verse 20 of John 17. But for all them also which shall believe on me through their word. I would say I'm praying also for those who in the future will believe on me, the Savior, Jesus, through the word of my apostles, the word of the apostles themselves. We have that word right here. And it takes us back to a verse I alluded to a moment ago, Acts chapter 2 and verse 32. About the Jerusalem Church of Christ, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The word of the apostles and the apostles' doctrine is one and the same. So again, to enjoy the principle of together, we must walk together in the light of God's word. It's really as simple as that. Of course, that's part of the problem. Folks don't want to take the word as the final say in the matter. And again, as I think I alluded to yesterday, let me say it again, by way of repetition, I grew up hearing old-time gospel preachers say, and it's true now as it was so many years ago, we ought to call Bible things by Bible names. And we ought to do Bible things in Bible ways. That's just what we ought to do. Call Bible things by Bible names. Do Bible things in Bible ways. Just can't go wrong when we do things the Bible way. The old fashioned, give me the Bible, we sing. Our kids sing the B-I-B-L-E. Yeah, that's the book for me. Can't go wrong with that. We teach it, stop, we sing it. But do we really believe it? Do we put it in practice? If we're going to enjoy the principle together, brethren and friends, I'm preaching to the choir, but bear me out and hear me out. We must walk together in the light of God's Word. Would to God that more of our brethren would embrace what you and I believe, walking together in the light of God's Word. Picture a walk that maybe you took with your spouse. Maybe your children along. Shana and Connie and I, we got up this morning, we're staying there at the Mammoth Cave Motel, and got up and had breakfast there at the local restaurant, Mammoth Cave Restaurant. Then went back and did the room a minute and went for a walk. Enjoyed a nice little walk. So wonderful. More meaningful knowing that Shana and Connie would be leaving me late in the day, heading back to Birmingham. So we just walked hand in hand. A little bit breezy rain, but beautiful. Clear skies. I'm told and I have read that pilots call days that are cloudless and perfectly clear, severe clear. We've had a lot of severe clear days in Birmingham, and I suspect y'all have. Maybe that's about to come to a close, Brother Bobby, but severe clear. Severe clear this morning. Wind was blowing, but not bad. The warmth of the sun on your face, hand in hand with your woman or your man or your daughter in my case, all beautiful. So again, let's draw on that beautiful picture of families walking together, actually, physically walking together. And then think about that in light of God's Word. Why can't we walk together in the light of God's Word? Point number one, the longest of our points this evening. Point number two, or 4 points tonight, under the title of the principle of together. If we're going to enjoy it, well, then we've got to embrace walking together. Number two, assembling together. The principle of together involves walking together in the light of God's Word. And when we're walking together in the light of God's Word, then, but really, we understand our obligation to assemble together. So, assembling together is our second point. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Then we're going to go over to 1 Corinthians 11. Then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 14. And we'll move to our third of 4 points tonight. Hebrews 10, 25. You know it by heart, perhaps. Here's what the Hebrew writer, whomever he was moved by the Spirit of God to write what he wrote. Whether it was Paul or Apollos or whomever it was, God moved him to write what he wrote. Here it is, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. Our brethren and, well, religious folk in general have been greatly disagreed about what the day approaching is, and we won't get into that debate tonight. That could take a while, John, couldn't it? Going through all the different possibilities that people, even our brethren, have brought forth. So we won't do that. I'll give you quickly my judgment on it. I'm inclined toward the view that it refers to the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70, but many faithful sound brethren would disagree with that interpretation of that part of the verse. But what we're concerned with is the first part of the verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Forsaking is from a Greek word that in its etymology literally means to leave behind. To leave behind. It also carries the idea, and you'll find this in the lexicons and all, the idea of abandonment, of desertion. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not abandoning the assembling of ourselves together. Not deserting the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Not leaving behind the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. And again, I know I'm preaching to the choir. You're the folks here that are here on a Monday night. So, I know you know what I'm saying. We've got to share it with others. Nice number here on a cool Monday evening. Be so much nicer if there were twice the crowd here. I know this isn't the Lord's Day, but we've announced this and advertised this, that the brethren, you good brethren have. You've done your part. I'm trying to do my part now. My part in this wonderful gospel meeting. We'll all do our part, and we'll be pleasing to our Lord and our Master. Oh, brethren, the problem is many people just don't take that verse to heart. And increasingly today, and I know this, I, like several of you, travel quite widely among our brethren, among the Lord's people during the course of a year. And I talk to people, as you talk to folks. I mean, there are good things and bad things, there are negatives and positives happening in the church all over the country. I mean, that's just the way it is. It is what it is. We may want to change things, but we've got to deal with the reality. We've got to move from there. We've got to start there and work in a biblical direction. It is what it is. Being that, the truth of being that the case, bear with me as I lay the groundwork for an exploration of point number two. And what I want to communicate to you is I'm concerned that so many of our brethren, Brother Malin, are dividing up. I don't mean church is splitting per se, but an local assembly is meeting together, assembling less. And they're splitting up into homes and this location, that location, more and more. My roommate, John, my first 2 years at Harding back in the 70s, wonderful Christian man, Christian family. He is an elder in the church. He's one of 10 elders in a congregation of almost 1,000 members. This is a big congregation. And it's a congregation that struggles with things going on. Well, we were together, Shannon and I, the girls, stayed in their home recently and spent a few days with them, had a nice visit. And he told me that some time back they had stopped assembling together on Wednesday nights and were meeting at homes. He was concerned about that, but he was one of 10 elders. He only had two other guys that stood with him. So as he put it, Johnny said, I got voted down. And I said, well, Stan, he's my dear friend Stan. I've known him literally all my life. We grew up together in Pocahontas, Arkansas. But I said, Stan, I'm concerned about that. And I hope you'll be able to convince your fellow elders to move in the right direction. I said, my guess will be that soon they'll want to do this. The brethren, they'll want to do this on Sunday nights. He said, well, that has already come up, and we're wrestling with that right now. I said, oh, it's even, you know, further advanced than I had imagined. And I said, then what's going to happen next? My experience has been, brethren, that once it hits Sunday night, then a church divides oftentimes. Then we get the division that we talked about in our introduction just a little bit ago. The principle of together involves walking together in the light of God's Word. And it involves assembling together as God intended us to do. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 18. 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 18 that I alluded to a moment ago. Here's what Paul wrote again to the church of God at Corinth a long ago. For first of all, when you come together in the church, in the ecclesia, in the assembly, I hear that there be divisions among you and our partner. Believe it. Well, sure enough. Look at that language, though. For first of all, when you come together in the church, in the ecclesia, in the assembly, drop down to verse 20. When you come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Or two verses later, when you come together, therefore, into one place. Look at all that coming together and togetherness language. Hebrews 10:25, 1 Corinthians 11:18, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 20. Go quickly to 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 23. 1 Corinthians 14:23 says in your Bible and in mine, if therefore the whole church become together into one place, verse goes on from there, but that's enough to make our point. These are just a handful of many verses that again clearly indicate by one example what our brethren did in the long ago. The biblical example is for us to come together. We are on very thin ice. Our brethren are on very thin ice when they advocate giving up, dividing up, separating, going here and going there. There's all kinds of arguments we can make against it. I'm offering one right here. You will not find an example of encouragement, admonition, or exhortation to give up, to divide up. But you'll find all of these examples of coming together. And then I would also, the real question, how could a congregation, how could its elders oversee, properly oversee? Well, I've been told by a brother to do that. Well, see, here's what we do now, Brother Mel. See, you don't seem to understand the arrangement we have. Here's what we do. See, we've got 500 members. We've got five of us, so we all take 100 members. And he goes through that, and then, you know, I try to be patient. I'm just chomping at the bit to respond, and I say, so in the day of judgment, you're just going to answer for your 100, and what about the others? What the Lord asked me about someone else's 100 over here? Well, you don't get a response on that, or they think you're being silly. I'm not being silly at all. You can't operate like that. That's not the biblical picture of the eldership at all, brethren and friends. Again, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but we need to reinvest ourselves in the principle of together, involving walking together in the light of God's Word, and assembling together at every opportunity that we have. There'll be enough occasions, plenty of times, that we have no control over when we're prevented, as you know, brother, from assembling. We have no control over those occasions. We ought to control what we can control, and I believe we can control the vast majority of our time in coming together, as you have so sweetly done tonight on this Monday evening. Years ago, probably almost 20 years ago, Shane and I, maybe a couple of the girls, one of the girls, we were at the Fried Hardeman Lectures. And I heard, we were listening to a lecture, John, by Brother G.P. Holt. I don't know if he's still living or not. If he is, he's probably up in years. Brother Holt made a statement there that I jotted in the back of my little ship brochure and memorized so easily, but he made this point, and these are his exact words. Quote, word for word, some congregations have turned the church into a playhouse. Some congregations have turned the church into a playhouse. Now, I mentioned that here, right here at this point, at this juncture of our study, because it's going to be the bridge to lead us into our third or four points tonight. The principle of together involves walking together in the light of God's Word. It involves assembling together. We know to do that because we're walking together in the light of God's Word. And when we're assembling together, watch it now, that bridge of some congregations have turned the church into a playhouse. Watch it now. When we assemble together, we know that we are here for a purpose to, number three, exalt His name together. The principle of together involves walking together in the light of God's Word, assembling together, and exalting His name together. Go with me to Psalm 34 and verse 3. Psalm 34 and verse 3 says, in your Bible and in mine, O magnify the Lord with me. Watch it now. Psalm 34, 3. You're going to want to circle this now. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Psalm 34 and verse 3. There is a sermon in that verse alone. That verse alone. I just gave Wayne and John and Billy a sermon right there, and I'm not going to charge the whole thing for it. Free charge, brother. Free charge. All kidding aside, man, that is a wonderful verse. I don't know how many times, Billy, I've read that over the years, and it just didn't jump out at me like it did a few years ago. I thought, man, I must have been blind. And I'm reminded of, again, Psalm 119, verse 18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Oh, yes, indeed, every time we read the Word of God and study the Word of God, new insights are ours for the taking, because they're right there. We missed it before, we get it now. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, Psalm 34 and verse 3, and let us exalt His name together. We're not here to turn the church, the assembly, into a playhouse. Enough of our brethren are doing that. The religious world has been doing that for generations. But we're here at every occasion, and particularly on the first day of the week, to exalt His name together. Psalm 29 verse 2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Psalm 29 and verse 2. Our Lord said in Matthew, recorded in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, here we are now, hallowed be thy name. God's name is hallowed, and we hallowed in the assembly, and out of the assembly, we honor Him with correct speech and with right worship. In doing this, we please the living God as His living and breathing creatures, the humans that He has created in His own, His very own image. in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, here's what Luke recorded. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. I have never occupied a jail cell. I just want to get that out there right now. I probably should have said that when I got here yesterday, Wayne, but I'll get that out there now here halfway through the meeting. I've never been arrested, never been in jail, never been fingerprinted or anything like that. So, but I'm saying all that to say this. What would I do if I were? Even if we were arrested for preaching the gospel. Paul and Silas, Paul and Barnabas, Paul by himself. Oh, me, multiple times in scriptures you well know. Tell you what you already know. Paul was arrested for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here he is with Silas. It's midnight. I'd probably be catching me a quick nap, a little power nap at least. Maybe listen to the chatter from the other cells and the prisoners. No, not Paul and Silas. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed, Mike, and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Well, now, Brother Miller, they weren't in the prison like we got now. Well, I don't know that, and you don't either. I think it's probably harsher conditions. What seems to me that some prisons are a little light on responsibility, a little flush on, quite a bit flush on extra things. Just an opinion. Disagree if you will. All brethren and friends, Acts 16:25 is rich. What would we be doing if we were in prison? They're glorifying God. They're magnifying Him. They're exalting His name together, and people in prison are hearing them. How wonderful that is. How wonderful that is. What is Hebrews 13:15, I believe it is. Someone can flip over there and check me on that. By Him, therefore, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. Around Hebrews 13:15, maybe 14, somewhere around there. This thing, good deal, thank you. Verse Hebrews 13:15, that's a good verse. By Him, the pronoun Him, has its antecedent in Jesus, mentioned back, I believe, in verse 12. By Him, therefore, let us offer up the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. I don't believe that's limited to song. I believe that includes prayer. I believe it can include a number of things involved in our worship to God, brethren and friends. But all of these verses, Hebrews 13 and verse 15, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Psalm 29:2 and Psalm 34 and verse 3. Matthew 6 and verse 8. All of those verses and so many more. Acts 16:25. Those that we've mentioned tonight with this point. These are verses that instruct us about our assembly time. What we're here to do. Why we're here. Every act of worship, I'm convinced. Every act of worship honors God, praises God, is worship to God, but it also, each act of worship provides something we need. I'm convinced of that. It's a benefit to us individually. Every act, the study of God's Word strengthens our faith. Romans 10:17. So the faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So again, the study of God's Word, like we're doing tonight, strengthens our faith. I benefit, and also I'm praising God. I'm exalting with you His name together, Psalm 34 and verse 3. Some years back, since I've been in Birmingham, a denominational church, not the Lord's church, but a denominational church, decided they would place a slide in part of their foyer, the part of the foyer where the kids came out from their classes, put in a slide. I'm not exaggerating. This actually happened within our local newspaper, the Birmingham News. So, on part of the foyer, a huge denominational congregation, a huge building and a lot of numbers. So that part of the foyer where the kids came out of their classes, they put a slide there and they could slide way into the auditorium. They thought so. They thought so. Yeah. Yeah, you know, my goodness. I don't know that any of our brethren have done that yet. And I need to be careful about saying that. Maybe somebody will take that as, you know, my words as encouragement, of course, which they're not. Could it be that what I quoted from Brother Holt, G.P. Holt, a moment ago, some congregations have turned the church to a playhouse? Would that be an example of that? Sure it would. And maybe it's an extreme example, but it's one of so many. And our brethren have wrapped themselves up, tied themselves up, and tangled themselves up in a lot of activities that have no authority, no permission from, brethren and friends, the Word of God. And so rather than exalting His name together, what's going on? What's going on? They turn the church into a playhouse. The principle together involves walking together in the light of God's Word. Assembling together. We know that because we're walking together in the light of His Word. And when we assemble together, it's for the purpose of exalting His name together. We're not here to entertain ourselves, as you well know. We're not here to please ourselves. I don't reject this. Most preachers do a little humor now and then. I think that's appropriate. But if my sermons became, in total, humorous, anecdotal incidents, as long as the day is long. No doubt about it. All right for a little humor now and then. A little anecdotal reference here and there. A little this, a little that. But the Word of God has to be at the heart of our worship to the Lord God Almighty. Point number four, and finally this evening, about 5 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock, I appreciate your careful attention. With open minds and open Bibles to the Word of God. The principle of together is what we're thinking about. We're sharing together 4 points of what is involved in that principle of together that I believe is found in Acts 2:44. All that believe work together. So there is the embodiment, the biblical embodiment of the principle. If you will, the statement at least of such. And it involves walking together, number one, in the light of God's Word. Assembling together, number two, every first day of the week, and beyond that, at every opportunity that we have with the local church of Christ. Number three, while we're assembling together, exalting His name together. And what we're doing and have done and continue to do all of that, number four is it involves working together. Working together. I remember those old drawings, Scott, some brotherhood publications, there'd be two pictures. In one picture, there'd be a couple of mules, and they were hitched, but they were hitched going in opposite directions. They're pulling apart. Then on the facing page, there'd be two mules hitched together, pulling together. That makes an impact. I remember that, as you remember scenes, photographs, pictures of such. Working together. What? Walking together, assembling together, exalting His name together, and then working together with our hands, with our hearts, with our bodies, and with our minds. God has equipped us like no other. Our 17-year-old girl that you met, Connor, who was here until today, is on Wednesday nights teaching one of the kids' classes, and one of the little girls had come in from school just, I think, maybe a week ago. And she just bragged, and she was full of knowledge from that day of school. And she said, oh, she said, Connor, we're mammals. We're all mammals. And Connor said, let's all sit down and have a little suction time here. And lovingly, these are small children, grade school kids, but no, we're not mammals. No, we're not mammals. Oh, brethren and friends, we're so much more. You and I are created in the very image of God. That boggles my mind. I don't know that we'll, John, entirely be able to comprehend that in this life, but I believe it. We're created in the very image of God. And we have the ability to work together. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 1 says, in your Bible and in mine, we then as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. What? We then, 2 Corinthians 6 and 1, as workers together with Him, to Him is God. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9 says, a parallel passage, again from 2 Corinthians 6, 1 to 1 Corinthians 3, 9. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. Husbandry is an older word, an Elizabethan word. We would translate it field today. You are God's field. You are God's building. God works in His field. God works in His building. We are laborers together with God. We're workers together with Him. The old saying I heard growing up was, many hands make light work. Many hands make light work. We're having an indoor work day at Cherries Mountain on our property. I always emphasize that many hands make light work. If we're knocking doors, many hands make light work. If we're licking stamps, or y'all don't guess you lick stamps anymore, do you? You're placing stamps on, doing mailings. Many hands make light work. Whatever we're doing, many hands make light work. It was Solomon who said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with might. We need to get behind the work of the local church. If we're in doubt about what we can do or need to do or ought to do, talk to the elders, talk to the preacher, find out. Let's get involved. And again, I know I'm preaching to the choir. Some years ago when I was preaching in Laurel, Alabama, I'm in central Alabama now at Shades Mountain in Birmingham, but I was preaching down in Baldwin County at the Eastern Shore Church of Christ in Daphne, Alabama, down on Mobile Bay. And there was a preachers and their wives and elders and their wives gathering that Brother V.P. Black, the late Brother V.P. Black, had put on, had gotten together over in Mobile, 9 miles across the old bay way there, at a restaurant. We had good feed. And then Brother E. Claude Gardner, John knows Brother E. Claude, getting up in years. Brother Gardner was his first wife at the time before her death, were there. And so at the end of the meal, he got up and he spoke. Did a wonderful job. His closing words were these, and I may have shared these with you when I was here before, Wayne, but I want to do so again as we close out this point of this sermon on this night. Brother Gardner said, I want to ask, and these are his exact words, I want to ask each of you to ask yourselves, what two or three things can I do for the church this week? What two or three things can I do for the church this week? Boy, that hit me right between the eyes. That's a good saying. That's a good statement. That's just right. Brother friends, we've got to work together. We can work together. Beyond the odd, we can work together when we're exalting His name together. We're doing that because we're assembling together. And we know to do that, and we're doing that because we're walking together in the light of God's Word. It all begins with the Word of God. And it ends, if that is a true ending point, maybe it's not, maybe it could go beyond that. I suspect it could. But it ends, at least for our purposes tonight, with our working together with our minds, with our bodies, with our hands, and with our hearts. All we can, two or three things just this week, and then next week, two or three more that we can do for the church this week. Maybe this week it's physical. Maybe next week it's a spiritual activity, something more in the, if you will, the religious realm. But be that as it may, there's always something to do. What's the song, Ken? There's much to do, there's work on every hand. Hark, the cry for help comes ringing through the land. I may have gotten some of the words wrong there. Boy, that's a good song. Great sentiment in that song. There is much to do. There's work on every hand. I believe, brethren and friends, in the principle of together. And I believe that you do as well. Good to be with you tonight. Time is up, 3 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock. Been a full day, been a beautiful day, wonderful day. God willing, Lord willing, come back, be with us tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Preaching the gospel to a secular world. My theme for tomorrow night. Wednesday night, when we wrap it up, the normal midweek Bible study time right here, I'm going to preach under the title of Things No One Can Know. And I'm going to share with you three things no one can know. Oh, Brother Man, this fellow I know, he's the smartest. He's the Alex Trebek in the church. He knows things. He knows all the questions to the answers and the answers to the questions. Oh, I'm sure he does. Three things that dude and all of us do not know. So that'll be Wednesday night. We're smart folks, but there'll be three things we just cannot know. Come back and be with us then. Hope I've, whetted your appetite a little bit for something on Tuesday night and Wednesday night. Pleasure to be together. The invitation is yours. Jesus is our Savior, our loving Savior. He calls us unto Him, calls us by the gospel. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto he called you by the gospel to obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now I love that verse. Whereunto he called you by the gospel. John mentioned the gospel in our prayer a moment ago. Wayne mentioned the gospel in our introductory comments. And Ken led us in songs that emphasize in part the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're called by the gospel. Our loving Lord calls you, my friends, by the gospel tonight. Won't you come repenting of your sins? Confess his good and beautiful and glorious name as the Son of God. And allow Brother Wayne and one of the Christian men here to immerse you in water for the full forgiveness of your sins. Your life will never be the same. You can be raised to walk in newness of life. Oh, that's a sweet statement. Good to be with you. If you need to come, won't you come right now as together we stand and as we sing.